Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Let's Talk Kashrus, presented by the Kashrus Awareness Project in conjunction with Torah Anytime. Today, I am privileged to be joined by Rabbi David Cohn, Administrative Rabbinic Coordinator with the CRC, the Chicago Rabbinical Council. Welcome back, Rabbi Cohn.
Thank you. Great to be here.
I'd like to discuss today the topic, actually three topics, Arla, Shemitah, and Chumas and Maisers, which all apply typically to produce that is purchased or comes originally from Eretz Yisrael. We often see notices, people letting you know that certain peppers or oranges being sold in Costco or whatever store comes from Eretz Yisrael, and there's this issue and that issue. So we'd like to use this episode kind of as a guide for people that when they walk away today, they should know what they need to know with regard to these three topics. So if you could walk us through topic by topic, we'll take one at a time.
Okay, so Arla is the first one. Arla applies to fruit. And interestingly, Arla, of those rules of things from Eretz Yisrael, is one that actually applies in Chutz La'aretz also, to much our surprise. But there's a huge difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. So let's first talk about what it is. Arla means is a tree, when you plant the tree, for the first 3 years that it grows, you're not allowed to eat any of those fruit. You're actually not allowed to have hana from or any benefit from those fruits as well. It only applies to fruits, not to vegetables. But it applies in Eretz Yisrael or Chutz La'aretz. So mm-hmm. If in your backyard you plant an apple tree, and for the first 3 years you can't use any apples that grow on that tree. Mm-hmm. But the big difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz is that in Chutz La'aretz, if it's even a suffix, maybe it's not from Arla, you're allowed to eat it. So if I walk into the supermarket and I buy a pear, I don't have to worry about whether it's Arla, because whether it might be from Arla, it might not be from Arla. If it's a suffix, I don't have to worry about it. If it grew in Chutz La'aretz and it's a suffix, I'm allowed to eat it, no problems. Mm-hmm. That's not the way it works in Eretz Yisrael. From Eretz Yisrael, if it's grew in Eretz Yisrael, then Arla applies. And there, if it's reasonably possible that it is from Arla for one of the first 3 years, I'm not allowed to eat it. Okay, what is reasonably possible? I use a little bit of a vague term. Okay. Well, there's different opinions. Some people, the three main opinions are, if it's has to be more than 50% is a concern, is considered reasonable. Mm-hmm. That's pretty easy. Not so many fruits are. More than 50% of them are Arla. Right. Another opinion is 10%. Another opinion is 5%. So as an example, peaches, about 1% of peaches that grow in Eretz Yisrael are Arla. So that means you don't worry about that. You don't have to worry that they're Arla, because everybody would say, nah, 1% is not, that's not reasonably a reasonable concern.
And to explain that, simply put, that's because the majority of the produce, let's say peaches, are coming from trees that have been around for a long time.
Correct.
Right?
They've been many years. Fruits for many years.
Right.
But if you grow star fruits, are about 12% of them are from Arla. They grow in the beginning years of the tree.
Trees don't last so long.
So then, according to some of those opinions, you would be allowed to eat it, and some of them you wouldn't be allowed to eat it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what goes on in Eretz Yisrael, the people involved in this keep track of all the fruits in Eretz Yisrael, and they produce charts that tell you, each fruit, what percent of that fruit is Arla in the market, and they use it there, and we use it in America as well. So if you go to the store and you bought oranges, and they came from Eretz Yisrael, so your first question you have to find out, is it Arla? If it's Arla, you can't eat it. Mm-hmm. So you'd call up your local vod and you'd say to them, tell me, are oranges a concern of Arla at this point? They would check one of the charts, following whatever opinion they follow as to how much of a concern you find out. You say, this percent is Arla, that's above or below our cutoff, and then either you can eat it or you can't eat it. Okay, so that's Arla, specifically for fruits from Eretz Yisrael. Again, it would apply to your house also if you had a tree in your backyard, but mainly for us it's a concern if you go to the store and it's from Eretz Yisrael. Mm-hmm. That's for Arla. So our second concern is Shemitah, and that is every 7 years is a Shemitah year. We're now about 2 years after Shemitah. And there's two things we need to know about Shemitah. The first is that vegetables that grow in Shemitah, I mean something that gets replanted every year, think cucumbers and tomatoes get planted every year to grow again. Chacham said any things that grew during Shemitah that are vegetables are usher. It's called svichen. The reason why they said it's usher is because they were concerned people would plant during Shemitah and just say, it just grew during Shemitah, I can eat it. So Chazal said, if it grows in Shemitah, you can't eat it. So if you get carrots that came from Shemitah, they're completely awesome. They're svichen, you're not allowed to eat them. As opposed to, different than that, is fruits. Fruits don't get planted every year. There's no iser of svichen. So fruits that grew during Shemitah, let's say an apple that grew during Shemitah, is mutter, you're allowed to eat it. But you have to treat it with Kedusha Shvias. You have to treat it with special holiness, which is you can't waste any of it. You can't throw in the garbage. You can't sell it. You can't take it out of Eretz Yisrael. There's all kinds of different rules about what you could do with it. So, for example, if you were to get fruit from, you get, oranges, again, another example, oranges, or you get wine that came from Eretz Yisrael, made from grapes, so grapes are from Eretz Yisrael, you would have all these rules of, you have to treat it with Kedusha. And one last rule, sorry, but one rule I forgot is something called biur, which is when, at a certain point, when there's nothing left in the fields that's hefker for people, then you have to make yours hefker as well. So that's another thing to keep in mind. So if you get vegetables or fruits from Eretz Yisrael that came from the Shemitah year, then we actually came across, actually just this week, a person who says, we're selling produce from Eretz Yisrael from Shemitah year. They were being upfront to tell you that this is from the Shemitah year. If it's a fruit, you can eat it with Kedusha Shvias, except for beer. And if it's a vegetable, then you can't eat it at all. Okay, so that's Shemitah. Yeah. So those two things, Arla and Shemitah, are, there's nothing you can do about it. If it is Arla or if it's same Shemitah year, it is what it is.
Right. Okay.
The one that applies to most people in the most years is what you mentioned about Truma and Maisa. That's where I have something from Eretz Yisrael, and I need to do something in order to be able to eat it. Okay, I can eat it. I just need to follow certain rules if I want to be able to eat it. I have to do something before I can eat it. So basically, there are five things that have to be separated and given to a kohen or a levi or a poor person. There's different rules what you have to do with them. And we're going to go through those five things of what has to be done. I'm going to just use some slides here to show you what that is. Okay, for our example that we're going to talk about, just because it's going to work well for our example, we're going to use carrots. Okay. We're going to use baby carrots. And you see on our slide here, we've got 100 baby carrots here. Okay, and that's going to work well percentage-wise. We've got about 100 baby carrots over here. Okay, so what happens is like this. The first thing we have to separate is called truma. With truma, you have to give any amount. Okay, it goes to a kohen. It's meant to go to a kohen. And he eats it when he's tahar, and it's tahar, which means it's not for us. We can't eat it. So it has to go to a kohen and has some special kedusha to it. Okay, after that, 10% of what we have, so in this case we had 100 carrots, we have to give 10 carrots, would have to be given as Maaser Rishon. Okay, that's meant for a levi. It has no kedusha to it. It's meant for a levi. Okay, of those 10 that we gave to the levi, the 10%, a tenth of that, which is to say 1% of the whole total, right, is Truma's Maaser that again goes to a kohen. Okay, and again, just like Truma, it has kedusha to it, can only be eaten if it's tahar and the kohen is tahar. Again, that means he can't eat it nowadays.
Right.
The kohen is tameh and the truma and it's tameh. Okay, that's our third thing that we had to give. Our fourth thing is 10% of what's left. So remember, we already gave 10 away, so we have 90 left. A drop under 90, so we give about 9. We have to give either Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani.
Depending on the year, right?
Depending on the year, and I'm going to explain to you the years. Okay, but these are different kinds of Maasers. The word Maaser means a tenth, so it's a tenth of what's left. Either Maaser Sheni, Maaser Ani, depends on the year as follows. The years are broken into a 7-year cycle. Shemitah is the last of those years. So Tavshin, Pei Gimel, and Pei Dal, the first and second year, and the fourth and the fifth year, you give Maaser Sheni. That means you take this 10% and you eat it in Yerushalayim. And the years 3 and 6, that would be Tavshin, Pei Hei, and Tavshin, Pei Ches, those are Maaser Ani. It gives to a poor person who can do whatever he wants to it. Okay, so now we have to separate Truma, Maaser, Truma's Maaser, and either Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani. Not both, one or the other.
Right.
Okay. Now, usually, we have no idea which year. Is it Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani year? Not because we don't know whether is it Tashin Pei Dal or Pei Hei, but to know whether this thing grew, to decide when something grew is a little complicated. Actually, the practicality is, did this grow today or yesterday? But also is how do we judge the year? It's not as easy as just, well, okay, today it's whatever day it is in January or February and like that. So it's a little complicated. So when we do the separation, I'm going to explain to you how to do the separation.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if it's Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani. And we're going to cover ourselves in both directions. That's what we're going to do. We're just going to cover ourselves and say, whether it's Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani, Hashem, you know what it is. Whatever it's supposed to be, that's what I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we're going to cover ourselves. Okay. So how do we do that? So what do we do? So what we do is like this. We take our 100 carrots, and we put onto a plate. So we separate from them a little more than 1%. Okay? And the idea of a little more than 1% is because 1% is the Truma's Maaser.
Right.
That's what we had said back. The little bit is the Truma that has to go to a kohen. Those two that we're separating are because those are the ones that when the day is over, we're not going to be able to eat those. We can't eat them. We can't do anything with them. They get burnt we'll wrap them, put it in the garbage, double wrap them, put it in the garbage. Everything else we can deal with, mm-hmm. okay? And we do it like this. So we say, and then we say like this. We say, the thing that's a little bit more than 1%, you know, on that plate, you see there's two carrots there? Well, one of those is 1%, and there's a little bit more. Whatever's mm-hmm. a little more than 1%, that's the truma. Then I say, okay, the rest of these, I want 10% of what was on the originally to be miser, and of which one of those 10 is the other carrot that's on there. That should be my truma's miser. Okay, so mm-hmm. I've done those two. Then I say, okay, now I have 10% that I have to give as miser sheni or miser ani. I say, okay, on the bottom, in the south side, on the north side, pick another side, and I say, I want that to be miser sheni or miser ani. Now, if it's miser ani, it goes to a poor person. The din is you're allowed to eat it. Okay, if the poor person can prove it, whatever, you're allowed to eat that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about that. If it's miser sheni has kedusha to it. It has to be eaten Yerushalayim. That's not going to happen. So what we do is then you take a coin, at least a dime's worth of a coin. Take a coin and you say the kedusha that's on that miser sheni, I want it to go onto this coin.
So you like paida, you're paida.
Correct. You're moving all the kedusha onto here, mm-hmm. and in our case, you're allowed to move it even onto just one pruta's worth. You move it onto uh-huh. the coin, and then that coin gets destroyed. Okay. For us, we throw it into the river, into the lake. If you can, you deface it, and then you throw it into the lake. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen is, so you have all this thing. You bought a bag of oranges or some herbs or something from Eretz Yisrael. So what you do is you have, this is the procedure you need to do. You take a little bit more than 1%. Then you go through the wording. I said it a little quickly, but it's on our website and others have the same wording. It's nothing unique to us. Mm-hmm. Many people have the same wording that you're supposed to say. But what you're going to do is you're going to separate a little bit more than 1%, and then you're going to say the whole nusach that you're supposed to say. And in the end, that 1%, that little 1% plus is going to have kedusha. It has to be right. buried or wrapped and put in the garbage. Some kedusha is going to end up on a coin that you have, and that's going to be discarded also. And the rest is going to be allowed to eat. You'll have covered yourself. Okay, so just to wrap it up, we have to deal with Orla and Shemitah to make sure we're allowed to eat this food.
Right.
And then if we've gotten past that, the peppers or the carrots that I have, I do the trumas or maises, I deal, as I just said, go through this whole thing, and then you're allowed to eat them.
Now, typically speaking, when people go to the store, I should just remind people to check what they're buying, right? I mean, when it comes to produce, fruits and vegetables, maybe people are not even paying attention to what they're buying. Is there a way to really know, unless you're buying a closed package, sometimes in Costco or other stores, is there really a real way to know, and I'm going to some fruit store, where these fruits and vegetables are originating from?
Okay, so it's a good question. As a rule, if you don't know, you can assume it didn't come from Eretz Yisrael.
Okay.
Where I come from in Illinois, at least the law there is, you have to mark each thing the country of origin that it's from. Mm-hmm. So you walk in the fruit store, it says Mexico. It says where it comes from. So you would, if you, as long as you have your eyes open and you're thinking about it, you would notice if it came from Eretz Yisrael.
Okay.
But even if you don't know, then you assume it didn't. But it happens regularly that people walk in the store and they will find the peppers or the carrots or the herbs or the citrus fruits, and it'll say produce of Israel. It'll say that, and somehow they notice it. And then they have to go through these steps that we talked about.
And just to clarify the point about redeeming the food onto the coin, does the coin have to be any specific amount? Could it be even the smallest currency in whatever country it could be?
It has to be, I would say, a dime. It fluctuates with the price of silver. It has to be a pruta. Uh-huh. To be safe, you say a dime. Uh-huh. Most people can handle that. Can swing for a dime.
I think so.
If they can find any coins in their pocket, you know, most people don't never see any money, but
right.
you have to get a coin.
Credit card won't work.
No, that's no. There actually is in Eretz Yisrael. There are groups that you could have. They keep coins for you, so you have you have a membership to them, and they keep coins.
And they'll do.
And you say, and I'm putting my kedusha onto the coin that they're holding for me.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's a whole way how that works. Uh-huh. But in America, we don't do it so often, though. We don't have those.
Right, right.
No, we don't do it. But in Eretz Yisrael, yes, there is such a thing. You're a member, and you put your kedusha onto them.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a fascinating topic. It is a complex one, and I imagine many of our viewers will have to watch this again and go over the slides until kind of they get into a routine. Once
yes.
people know what they're doing, I think it's important to point out, especially people who are new to this, once they do it a few times, they'll get into that rhythm, they'll know what has to be done, that it kind of they'll be able to do it by rote. But it is, a little overwhelming for people who've never heard of this concept of taking chumas and maestros themselves off of produce, but of course it's a big schus to be able to do it and to be able to fulfill the mitzvah properly.
Yes,
so
but not only the mitzvah, but we get to support farmers in Eretz Yisrael.
Sure.
And buy produce instead of running away from the produce from Eretz Yisrael. Imagine that. You walk in and say, Eretz Yisrael, no, I don't want that. Why shouldn't I help the guy? That means there's a Yid out there who's harvesting peppers and he wants to sell them. So I'm helping the, you know.
That's a great point as well.
So if I know what to do, then 100% you should do it.
Fantastic. So thank you. Thank you for educating us.
Sure.
And thank you for being here.